Text for our sermon this morning, our Old Testament reading from Jeremiah 23, especially these words. The Lord said, "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God's word did not seem like a fire or a hammer in Jeremiah's day. It seemed weak. Prophets ran without being sent. They dreamed dreams and proclaimed them near and far to gain popularity for themselves. And where was God's word? Marginalized, pushed out of their culture. No one had time or need for God's word. When the prophets were speaking peace and prosperity, who wanted to hear someone like Jeremiah telling people to repent of their sins? No one wanted to hear that. Instead, they ran around glorifying their sin. Of course, did it really matter if people worshiped the true God or Baal? Baal was the one, after all, who brought the rains. If they didn't pray to him, there'd be no rain ever. Baal was the one who brought prosperity. If they didn't give him offering, well, they'd all die. You can see the conundrum for the people of Israel. Baal seemed more powerful, more important than the true God. The prophets, well, to them it didn't really matter who the people worshipped. It's not my word like fire. It's not my word like a hammer. It breaks the rock in pieces. Didn't feel like it. As Jeremiah went around proclaiming that people should repent, they didn't. He even went to the king and told the king face to face. The king had him thrown out and thrown down a cistern. Didn't seem like God's word was very powerful at all until the Babylonian army showed up and destroyed Jerusalem. "Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, like a hammer?" God's word doesn't seem like much, does it? It never really does. When God promised a Savior in Genesis 3, it didn't seem like much. Just a couple words to two people as they lived in sin. God's word to Isaac and Moses and Rahab didn't seem like much. It seemed so little that Moses didn't even want to do what God told him to do. Moses would have been happy tending the sheep of his father-in-law there in the desert and not going back to Egypt. Moses would have been happy not seeing the plagues on the Egyptians and crossing the Red Sea and dealing with the Israelites. But God's word is a fire and a hammer. God's word seems small, but in Moses' life, it accomplished much. The fire of God's word consumed the people of Egypt and Pharaoh's host in the Red Sea. God's word preserved the Israelites. In Jeremiah's day, God's word didn't seem like much. It consumed the people of Israel in their unfaithfulness and destroyed them in their apostasy, and yet preserved a remnant who would come back faithful, clinging to God's word. It never seems like much, does it? In Jesus' day, God's word is wrapped up in the simple flesh of a man, going around speaking words like, "Your sins are forgiven you. Take up your mat and walk." And Lazarus, come out. It doesn't seem like much, does it? Yet God's word is that fire, that rock, that hammer breaking the rock. We see that over and over with Jesus, don't we? That consuming fire of the word and that hammer breaking the rocks. For all those complacent in sin that came to Jesus, what message were they given? Law upon law. That rich young man who came to Jesus saying how perfect he was. Remember what Jesus told him? Go and sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor. And then come follow. He couldn't do it. God's word is indeed a consuming fire. Consumes our sins. It consumes sinners in hell. Isn't that what Jeremiah is talking about? That eternal fire of God's condemnation that never is quenched, that never goes out. How horrible that is. Even worse than Jerusalem being destroyed. Even worse than the plagues on the Egyptians. For there was an end to those things. There is no end to the suffering in hell. God's word is that consuming fire. And Jesus says in our gospel reading today, I came to cast fire on the earth, and would that it was already kindled. What is he talking about? John the Baptizer prepared the way of the Christ by telling sinners to repent of their sins, by giving them the full fire and the hammer of God's word. Do you feel that fire, that hammer? As God looks at you, what does he see? Sins upon sins piled up. Your worship of self or other created things before God. Isn't that the same as the people in Jeremiah's day? You're not wanting to do God's word. Do anything but that. Isn't that the same as Moses not wanting to do what God told him? Sins of pride and arrogance and hate, lusting after someone or what they've got, despising them, if only in your heart, speaking ill of those around you, that God has put in your life that you would love them, instead you hate them. Isn't God's word a consuming fire, a hammer that should break you to pieces? It should. With every commandment that you have memorized, as you think back upon them, you know that you've broken them. You've torn God's law down. You've torn God down. You've put other things in his place. Just like the people in Jeremiah's day. Just like the sinners in Jesus' day. Isn't that you? What good have you to offer to God? What holy prayer, or what thing that God couldn't do for himself? God's word is a consuming fire. It consumes sinners. Are you not one? What Jesus means, came to cast fire on the earth, that he came to die for your sins. There the righteous demands of God's word are met in God's mercy. The fire that should be meant for you is placed upon him. Jesus shoulders your load of sins, all of them, and is consumed under the Father's wrath, that everlasting, unquenchable fire of hell is placed on Jesus. And he suffers it all for you, that you would not die, that you would live. that you would be a person of faith. Isn't that what Jeremiah was? In an unbelieving world, he had faith in the weakness of God's word. But in unbelieving people, millions of them, Moses clung to God's word, simply trusting that God would do as God said. But in an unbelieving force, an army, Rahab believed God's word, and she trusted. Isn't that you? That fire of God's judgment being placed on another, that you would believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, the one who saves you from your sins, the one who grants you not judgment, but forgiveness. He picks up the pieces of the brokenness of our lives, places them back together through our baptism into Him. He washes us clean. He feeds and nourishes us with the supper and declares us forgiven through His word. We are broken no longer. We are consumed no more. We are forgiven to stand before Him as people of faith, that others would see and know the mercy of God. In His name, amen.